the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III.
God is trying to send a message to America, hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, earthquakes, of unprecedented magnitude in this country. But I'm not sure anybody's listening. I'm not sure they realize that God is speaking to a nation that has defiantly destroyed the foundations that the Bible sets forth and says are necessary for the success of a people.
All around us, we clearly see the destruction of the foundations as our nation continues its downward plunge into moral decadence and spiritual darkness. In Psalm 11:3, we find this sober reminder: if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? This is the text Dr. Jones has chosen for this Independence Day program.
Would you turn, please, to Psalm 11? Psalm 11, the third verse. Very familiar verse. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The implication of this verse is that the righteous are in peril, in some kind of danger, in some kind of jeopardy, when the foundations around them are destroyed. I don't think there's any doubt in the minds of any thinking person here that the foundations of our society are being destroyed daily, more and more. There is certain difficulty for God's people who live in such a society. I define at least five major supports, and there are many other strategic supports, but at least five major supports of our society, which have now disappeared or are well along in the process of disappearing. And I'd like to state at least five biblical foundations for any society, without which a society cannot survive. And when these foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Our job is made harder as righteous, redeemed people, when we live in a society without these foundations. And more than I have had to face living in such a society, you will have to face it. It's been hard enough for my generation. But my generation came along when these foundations were still secure. We've lived to see them destroyed. You're going to live in a society that never knew those foundations. What can you do to have to live in such a time? Let me identify five foundations that I believe the Bible identifies as being absolutely necessary for the success of any society. And when they're destroyed, the life of the righteous, the work of the righteous, is greatly jeopardized. The first one is the biblical foundation, which tells us that work is not optional. Work is not optional. When the Lord put man in the garden and when man sinned, God decreed in Genesis 3, verse 19, that in the sweat of thy face shalt thou earn thy bread. God decreed that man should work. We live in a society that is more and more trying to make hard work obsolete. Our welfare program does that. There's nothing more debilitating to the structure of our society than the welfare program of Washington and of the various states. In some reading I was doing a while back, someone said that if we pay the poor to do that, to continue doing the very things that made them poor in the first place, they'll continue to be poor. And that's what's wrong with welfare. We pay the poor to continue doing the things that made them poor, and so we're guaranteeing their poverty. Someone said that it's quite obvious that when you tax something, you get less of it, and when you subsidize it, you get more of it. What are we subsidizing by the welfare program? For one thing, we're subsidizing immorality. We pay women to have illegitimate children. And the more illegitimate children they have, the more they get paid. The only condition for continuing to get these subsidies for their immorality is that each year when they come to the welfare office to collect a bigger check because they've had another illegitimate child, they can't list the same father as the one who fathered the child last year. If they list the same father 2 years in a row, the subsidy is removed. Now, any infant, I think, could figure out the folly of that, but they haven't figured that out in Washington yet. And we continue to subsidize immorality by our welfare society. We subsidize indolence. People who could work and won't work because it's more lucrative to let the government pay you for doing nothing. A society can't survive where this sort of mentality thrives. And it's thriving in America. I think that if some of us in this room would stop just a minute and say, what is my attitude toward work? There are many in this room that would have to say, you know, my attitude basically is, get away with doing as little as possible. Some years ago, one of our students in the summer worked in a Detroit auto plant, a unionized plant. And unionism has fostered the idea of doing as little as you possibly can and getting a bigger paycheck every year for doing less. That's the mentality of the unions. That's why I hate unions so much. And this guy went to work at the auto plant and he was working hard. He was supposed to work 8 hours a day and produce as much as he could. And he hadn't worked too many days until one of the union bosses in the plant came and said, son, you're working too much. You're producing too many pieces a day. And he said, well, that's what I'm paid to do. He said, as long as I'm getting paid, I'm going to work my hardest. And he said, no, that's not what we do around here. You don't understand. We're going to get paid whether we produce much or not. And so we have a level here that we've decided is acceptable to us, the worker. And you have to reduce your production to that lower level. And he said, I won't do that. He said, that's immoral. That's wrong. He said, I'm drawing a paycheck and the one who's paying me expects me to do my very best. Well, he said, you can't do that and work here. Then he said, I quit. I'll not be dishonorable and do less than my best for the paycheck I'm receiving. My employer is entitled to my optimum output. Well, he's right about that. Anything less than that is dishonesty. When you work for anybody, you owe the one paying you the very best production you're capable of. Not the least. You're not paid to do as little as possible. You're paid to do as much as possible. God ordained that with the sweat of your brow, you should earn your living. You don't get paid for doing nothing. You don't get paid for doing little. You get paid for doing your best. And as a Christian who will answer to God for your work production and your integrity, you've got to do your best. Now, if you have any other attitude toward work, you're contributing to the destruction of the foundations in our society. You need to get right with God No Christian should work for anybody unless he does his very best every day he's at work. There's another pillar, another foundational support of our society that is destroyed. It is the biblical foundation that says truthfulness is non-negotiable. Truthfulness is non-negotiable. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." What does that mean? It means to be diligent in the obtaining of truthfulness and don't sell out truthfulness. Don't get rid of it. Don't go through life less and less truthful. Go through life more and more truthful. Buy the truth. It's valuable. Don't sell it. Don't get rid of it. Keep it. Look, there is no chance that a society can survive where people's word is invalid, where contracts are made with the intent of being broken, marriage contracts, any other kind of contract, where people tell you something knowing that it's a lie when they tell it to you. Now, if I ended the message here and gave an invitation, and you were truthful about your lack of truth, there'd be a big response. The truth is, a lot of people sitting here are not truthful. When you cheat in school, you're not truthful. Nor are you honest. You steal an answer, and then you lie to the teacher and say, "This is my work." Some of you lie to your roommate, you lie to your work supervisor, you lie to your teacher, you lie to everything. Lying has become a way of life. You've lied to your parents so long, you don't know the lie from the truth anymore. Lying is a way of life with some of you. You call yourself a Christian. God hates lying. If you want to be right with God, you have to be truthful. You have to be truthful if it gets you in trouble. To lie gets you in trouble with God. You better be truthful no matter what it means. No matter how many complications it makes for you now. Lying will make greater complications for you now and in eternity. Make up your mind that no matter what happens, you're going to tell the truth. I read in the paper the other day that in a survey done among accountants in America, 85% of them said they cheated their way through college. These are people who are supposed to be helping other folks be honest in their financial dealings. There's no such thing as a society that can stand when people don't deal truthfully with each other. There is another foundation in this nation that is destroyed, is the biblical foundation that says that sexual purity is honorable. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I'm not speaking of those who stumbled and fell into some sexual sin at some point in their life. I'm speaking of people for whom and with whom that is a lifestyle. An unrepentant lifestyle. People who don't want the forgiveness of God for it and don't seek the forgiveness of God for it because they live in that kind of life. They sit in a Christian university and they go to a fundamental church somewhere. They might even go on extension. They might even preach sermons and sing songs. But they're homosexuals and they're adulterers, fornicators of every kind. You've joined in to the destruction of a nation and of a people and of a society. Because by and large, people in this society have come to accept sexual impurity as a normal and acceptable way of life. There's been so little preaching of the Word of God about it and so little preaching of sin in churches that they can do it without conviction. Society accepts it. It's all right. They used to be guilty about it when society said it was dishonorable for a man to cheat on his wife, or a wife to cheat on her husband, or to be a homosexual, or to be some kind of a sexual deviant. Society used to say these things were bad, but society doesn't say that anymore. And because people don't know what God says about it, that's become a lifestyle that they can live without any guilt. But you can't be a Christian and know what the Bible says and live that kind of lifestyle without guilt, which you should have, because the Holy Spirit, if He's in you, is making you guilty about that. You go on living that way in defiance of the Holy Spirit's conviction and live that way and have no repentance and do not turn from that kind of an immoral life, God will judge you. He has to. If His Word is true, He has to. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. The Bible says it. I'm distressed over a society that doesn't have any foundations anymore. The righteous are supposed to be the victims of that kind of a society, not participants in it. There's another foundation the Bible tells us about, which is destroyed today. It tells us that marriage is supposed to be non-breakable. Malachi 2, 15 and 16, "Let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away." That's God's perspective on divorce. He hates it. I'm distressed over so many Christian marriages that are in difficulty before the first year of marriage is over. I'm distressed over the fact that a lot of Christian wives who go out into the workplace fall into sin with some man they meet in the office. Perhaps if the husband at home were the kind of husband he ought to be, that wouldn't happen. But the wife has to bear the responsibility for her own sin, her own actions. Marriage is honorable. God ordained it. Whoremongers and adulterers, He will judge. And if you want to be in the will of God, if you want to have God's blessing on you, then you can't enter into divorce, which the Bible tells us God hates. And there are consequences connected with it that have to be lived with for the rest of the life, because once you're divorced, you can't undo that. It's done. The consequences have to be lived with. There's something else foundational that society has thrown over. And that is the Bible foundation that tells us the law of sowing and reaping is still operational. Galatians 6, 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Society doesn't understand that. Society laughs at that. Society says, "I can live independent of God and make my own decisions, live by my own standards, and what does it matter?" God says it matters a lot, because you're going to reap what you sow. Whether you believe there's a God or not, whether you believe God's Word is true or not, you fall under the law of sowing and reaping. Atheists fall under it. Immoral profligates fall under it. What you sow, you reap, whether you have any regard for God and His Word or not. State Farm Insurance, which I think has been in existence since the 1930s, reported that of the 25 largest claims payout that they've had to make in the history of their company, of the 25 largest claims on their company, 20 of those have occurred in the last 5 years. I don't think there's any question in anybody's mind. I think what State Farm has verified here through their claims payout is that God is trying to send a message to America, hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, earthquakes, of unprecedented magnitude in this country. But I'm not sure anybody's listening. I'm not sure they realize that God is speaking to a nation that has defiantly destroyed the foundations that the Bible sets forth and says are necessary for the success of a people. The foundations are being destroyed. What we're sowing, we're reaping. There's a big move rolling right now to have a lottery in South Carolina. And then after that will come a move for legalized gambling. The industries are paying great sums of money to the legislators right now to buy their vote to make this legal. I don't understand how decent people can sit by and be quiet about this. Surely the churches will rise up and make their voice heard. Surely decent people will say, listen, gambling has always been considered a vice. How can it now be glorified as a virtue? Oh, they say, look at all the revenues. What they're talking about is greed. Look at all the revenues that are going to come to the state. Look. It can be verified all over this country where there's gambling. It's a backdoor tax on the poor. It's basically the poor people who spend the most money on gambling, and it's making the poor poorer. It's just another one of the debilitating addictions that are destroying our society. Along with nicotine, dope, and alcohol, now right alongside of that is the addiction of gambling, and they're trying to make it legal and respectable. Everybody knows that where gambling goes, organized crime is there to reap the benefits. Jim Moody, the organized crime chief of the FBI, said, gambling is the lifeblood of organized crime. We don't need that in South Carolina. Decent people should raise their voice. Somebody said that more and more people gamble when lotteries are available. They say, well, we're going to support education. Look at all the revenue that will come for education in South Carolina. Well, the truth is that when gambling supports education, tax dollars dedicated to education go elsewhere for disaster relief or wherever they're needed in some kind of an emergency. And taxpayers and legislators come to feel, hey, we don't need any more tax for education because gambling is now paying for education in our state. The California Superintendent of Education said, California schools are in worse shape since we had a lottery. Lottery money has given lawmakers and taxpayers the false impression that education needs less public funding. Ladies and gentlemen, what we sow, we will reap. We sow gambling because of our human greed, and because of the mismanagement of public funds that keep the state from ever having enough to do what it has to do for the citizens. So we say, let's tax the poor through legalized gambling. As long as we get the money, we don't care that the poor become poorer. We don't care that organized crime takes over our state. Just give us the money. You sow to greed, you will reap corruption. Our society's foundation is destroyed. God's people are in difficulty. It makes our lives and our ministry and our work a great deal harder. What will the righteous do? Well, we better pray a whole lot more. We better claim the promises of God a whole lot more. We better be sure that the foundation of the Word of God is under our feet. Because society doesn't have a foundation under its feet anymore. And the house is falling down on itself. There's only one safe place to be. And that's under the shelter of His covering wings. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you know the Lord? If you are, get busy and get more people saved. Because there's no protection, there's no help, there's no quality of life worth living, and there's certainly no eternal life worth living outside of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Now, dear Lord, we do not despair, and our hearts are not afraid, but we do look realistically upon what is about us in this nation, and we see the great tragedy of a country that has removed itself from the foundational truths of the Word of God, And we see the consequences everywhere about us. Lord, we look up with hope because our sure foundation, the Word of God, is not shaken. And we're a people of hope and joy. We're also a people that Thou hast given responsibility to get the gospel to every creature. And so, Father, Thou hast not told us to reclaim society, but Thou hast told us to seek for souls. And I pray Thee that there's not a Christian here that will not be more diligent in that and entrust in Your promises. For in Christ's name we pray, amen.
A safe place in the middle of the crumbling walls of our nation is under the wings of our all-powerful God. If you don't have this assurance, why not let the Lord Jesus Christ take control of your life and give His peace and serene trust that can only come from Him? On this Independence Day program, we've heard a message by the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III. We invite you to join us again next week for another Bob Jones University Chapel message on Chapel Echoes.